Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome back to the air. We are Scott Foundation once again on the radio, and my name is Autumn and my co-host is Sarian, and we are here to talk about thought and service leaders and also homelessness. Sarian, would you like to start us off?
Yes, I would. So a thought and service leader is someone that gives back to the community and tries to makes the world better than what they found it. And we like to pay it forward, just help in any way we can in the community, because there are a lot of issues in the world and in not just in communities too. So we're just trying to fix the world little by little. So this radio show is going to be based on homelessness, as there is a lot of homelessness, and especially just within, there's a lot of it, and it's getting bad. And we're just going to talk about it and get opinions on it and see how it rolls with it.
This is actually sponsored by Kurt McCormick and Associates. And we actually have two guests in here that we are very happy to have. One of them is Melissa Wise McCormick with Kurt McCormick and Associates. And then we have Rebecca Masterson with Generation Justice. Would you guys like to introduce what you guys do?
Sure. I'm Melissa McCormick Wise with Kurt McCormick and Associates. I'm a realtor / associate broker in the agency and have been for over 22 years. I work with my father. It's his company of almost 40 years in the Valley. And it works very well. Of course, we have our moments as father-daughter teams, but we sell residential real estate and we'll continue doing so.
Thank you. What about you, Rebecca?
Hi, guys. I'm Rebecca Masterson. And first of all, I am so excited to be here. And second of all, thanks to Melissa for inviting me. And if you need a realtor, she is who you need to call. And I am the vice president and chief counsel of Generation Justice. And Generation Justice is a relatively new nonprofit. We've been operating for less than 2 years. And our mission is to mend the broken foster system by reforming the laws and with a pro bono, very, very free law clinic. So thank you so much for having me. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart.
Well, I actually want to say thank you on behalf of us. And also, how did you guys learn about, oh my gosh,
Scott's Foundation?
Yeah. How did you guys get connected with Scott Foundation and what we do?
Well, mine was a fluke. Just by chance, I first found out about the charity concert with Sherry Rowe back in early fall, late summer. And I contacted Colleen as soon as I saw about it. And I came to it. I bought a table, sponsored a table, and very much enjoyed it. And since then, it's just been wonderful, a great relationship. And I hope to continue.
Yeah. Sherry's an awesome person,
yes,
by the
is.
Way.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
I love her so much. And also, I remember seeing you at the Fashion Party as well.
I was there as well.
It's very cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's very exciting meeting you and seeing you.
Thank you. And as you, it was great meeting all of you guys.
Thank you.
And I'm a new supporter of Scott's Foundation. And Melissa Wise McCormick is actually the one who told me about it. And I look forward to supporting it even more because I've now met you guys and I've looked on the website and I'm already color me impressed.
We actually have a new website. Like, man, that is awesome. Like,
it looked awesome.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't do it myself. It was all Colleen's work.
That was my next question.
Yeah, it was all Colleen's work. But man... Like, she showed me, like, the beginning of it, and I was like, man, this is going to turn out great.
It was very powerful. It's a
yes,
great website.
Definitely. So, today, we are talking about housing and homelessness. So, how we're going to start is, how do you guys feel about, and what do you guys observe about the problem?
It's overwhelming.
Especially where we live in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I would say that I would say we're not doing enough. And in fact, I would say that I think we're almost making it. We're making it worse. Making it worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel the public is knowledgeable enough about where the reality is with homelessness in our state, in any state for that matter. But we're speaking on Arizona right now, and it is overwhelming. And it's a very sad, sad situation that I feel we've gotten ourselves into.
I actually 100% agree. Like, most of the kids in foster care end up running away because they don't want to be in group homes. And sometimes even some group homes will kick you out once you turn 18. Mm-hmm. So you have nowhere to go. You get kicked on the street. You fend for yourself. And some bad things happen. You're either on the street selling drugs, or going into the prostitution, or even just staying out on the street and possibly ending up in jail. It's kind of a little sad to know that most people think that homeless people just choose to be homeless. Like, it's just something that they do because they're lazy and they can't get a job. It's like, that's not the reality.
And here's the thing though, too, especially in foster care, because you can't, like, I know some people probably don't expect it, but there are a lot of people in foster care that expect teens to just go out and find, like, this big job. Like, I mean, there's not going to be so much out there. You don't just become a CEO by night. It's going to take time to work your way up there, but I think they don't realize it because they're like, go do this, go do that. And it's hard to do it because especially there's a lot of people trying to find jobs, and it's not as easy as it sounds. It's not, especially because you have to have this skill and this skill. It's just, I think it's overwhelming, especially it's scary. And yes, they give you these classes, but sometimes these classes don't usually work out because then you give them the information. Yeah, you give them the information, but they're still scared. Like, if you're not scared of living by yourself, then I don't know. Like, I just don't know how you cannot be scared. It's scary to think, man, I'm going to be living on my own now. Because then you got all these bills to keep up. And so, and it's just hard, honestly, because I was in that situation, not myself, but with my mom, because they expected her to find a job so fast, but it was hard. It was harder than they made it seem. It was very hard for her. And then we ended up being homeless, and it was hard. And it came to the point where I was maybe 13, 14. I was trying to find a job to help my mom out because she could barely. And like Autumn said, it turned out to where my mom was just doing drugs and trying to find ways to get money by selling drugs and doing all this stuff. And I'm this 14-year-old kid, probably should be going out and living my life. But here I am trying to go to these small convenience stores, trying to ask them, like, hey, I'll sweep the floor for like $5. Like, I'll do whatever you want. Just like that. And it was hard because I'm a 14-year-old kid going up to people just being like, hey, could I do anything? I will sweep your floor with my trunk. That's what I will do.
In all honesty, I mean, it's not even just that. It's the lack of knowledge that foster care gives you. I mean,
So
I'm in the young adult program, and it's supposed to help kids reach from 16 all the way to 18. And it's supposed to show you all this and mm-hmm. all this and all this, and you're supposed to understand what's happening. You're supposed to have a caseworker that's talking to you about financial aid, FAFSA, bills, and banking, and all this and that. But in all honesty, I mean, they don't tell you how the real world's gonna be.
Yeah.
And especially the worst part about it is the fact that they make it seem like you will have funds. So once you turn 18 and you have a job and you move out on your own or go to college mm-hmm. or whatever you want to do, you end up going into independent living, and you're given an allowance. However, everybody thinks that is an every month thing. that's not how it works. It literally decreases every 3 months. So it just, it never really is telling you what the full story is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any subjects today about what, like about housing and homelessness and how it works in the world?
Well, first, I have so much admiration for those two stories. So thank you very much. And those stories are exactly why I do what I do. And I know from my job with Generation Justice that half of the homeless population spent time in foster care. And that is an absolute shame. And we are failing kids in the system. And so on behalf of every adult in Arizona, I'm going to apologize to both of you. And thank you for being strong and for being here. I recently adopted a 17-year-old boy. And so I have these exact same stories. And he was not enrolled in the correct programs and the funds didn't come in and the job skills weren't there. And his plan, which I'm sure you both understand, he did not have, he was not going to have his high school degree in time. And his plan to get food and shelter was to commit a nonviolent crime and go to prison because he felt that that was his best option. And so when people and kids age out of the system at 18, the majority of them end up homeless right then. And I feel that that is something that Arizona needs to know and that we together can educate them to help give kids like you the skills that they need to find jobs and the support that they need to keep them.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. I couldn't say it any better than how you just said it. And I, like Rebecca just said, I'm not a parent. I tried through the foster system.
Now we're going to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have failed. As a community, we have failed the kids.
But where we have fails, that means that the people in this room, we have failed the kids and the people in this room care enough that it can be fixed. And there are organizations like Scott's Foundation and Generation Justice, and there are business professionals like Melissa, and we can come together with Autumn and Sarah Ann, and we can fix it, guys. We can fix it.
Oh, no, I know we are, because in all honesty, I mean, I've been in the system since I was 3, so I know it like the back of my hand, so when people tell me one thing, I usually know how it's going to go. Like people
Autumn,
say,
I met you for 5 minutes and I have no doubt that you're on the way to fix this.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen kids come and go from my group home. I've seen people on the streets because of how like housing problems. I mean, the problem with the system is the fact that they try to get rid of kids so easily that they will literally just hand them to a perfectly random stranger and think, oh, you know what? This kid needs a family. They want a family. Let's toss them there. And it doesn't work out. And it comes right back in.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like they say it's in the best interest for the child, but sometimes I believe that sometimes it's in the best interest for them because they are like, 100%. let's throw this kid here so we can get Timmy over here.
Get him in so somewhere so yeah, we can get others else.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we're doing, but it's not, you're just throwing the kid. And then when the kid, let's say Timmy complains about his family that he just doesn't like, and then they come and like check the house and they're like, oh, Timmy's fine. In some cases that happens, and it's just hard to, you know, even look at those stories and, you know, and a lot of people, they're like, and the public is, I'm not mad at them because sometimes they don't have knowledge because it's just how it is. People think here, I pay taxes for these kids. What's going on? It's not so much you pay taxes. It's what the government does with those taxes. And it's just, you can't really, you know, follow the government because, you know, it's the government. And you can't really. And they're like, I gave you like money. I mean, I don't like people are like, I don't know what you want me to do. But in all reality, government just probably just used it for something else. And that's why some of these
homes. Very broken system.
Yeah. And that's why some of these homes are, they're just not in good shape. There's that. And that's people think the group homes are getting shut down because the people are bad. No, it's just how the system is. It's just the system, they just throw wherever. And puppets fine.
The reasoning behind it, and I can say a lot about this one, is because they want to get kids out of the system. They don't want to look bad. So they toss them into a house. And I've been into a bunch of different foster families, kinships, even a failed adoption. Like, I have been through it all, and it's nothing new for kids in foster care. And I mean, I got lucky because I got placed into a very good group home, and I'm very thankful for that, because if I didn't have this group home, I would never have met Scott Foundation. And I don't necessarily look at all the bad points, because yes, we get free schooling. However, that only comes if the kid actually wants it.
Right.
And the kids usually don't want it because they want to give up. So, I mean, they literally give us tools that we don't even know about. And also, we feel like we don't even deserve it. So, I mean, kids in foster care don't always have the best inspiration, especially when they have to live in group homes with sometimes even worse staff. So
there's no guidance.
No, there really isn't. And that's where the Scott Foundation comes in. Like, we are trying to help guide kids in different foster care systems, like not from just Phoenix or Glendale. Like, we're trying to make it all in Arizona so that kids actually have a chance to stand up and to do what they want to do instead of just falling through the cracks and being one of those other homeless kids. It hurts my heart sometimes thinking about it, especially considering a lot of families are even separated because of it. Like, siblings aren't able to see other siblings because of how the state works. And it's just how it works. But, I mean, I feel like if we decide to do something better, then we can lead a different way instead of just the same old way and having kids quit, you know? So I actually want to ask more about what you do, Rebecca, to help lead kids in the right direction.
I believe that one of the fundamental problems in our country is that the children don't have strong enough legal rights. I'm an attorney, and I know that the legal rights, well, so for example, for a lot of kids in Arizona, when you guys have your dependency hearings, the younger kids don't have lawyers, but everybody else in that courtroom does. So the parents have lawyers and DCS has lawyers and the child may or may not have a lawyer. And I think that's wrong.
No, it's not wrong, actually. So you cannot have a say or a legal like lawyer until you turn 12.
Right. So I mean, I think the system is wrong. Correct. So your entire life is at issue in this hearing and your legal rights are not being represented.
And I think they look at the, since I'm an adult, I can say they look, since the parents are the adults, they're like, they get to say whatever. But in reality, the kid, again, if it's in the best interest for the kid, then you should let that kid have an attorney and let that kid talk to that attorney and have the kid talk to attorney. And then the attorney put it into words that the adults can understand, you know?
No matter the age of the child.
Yeah, no matter. The kid could be like 6 and still be like, I'm not comfortable, because you know 6-year-olds, but they're like, I don't feel safe with my mom or my mom's scary. And they can put attorneys like you can put it into a way to make the judge and the rest of them to understand. Or I just think that kids, there should not be a limit on when a kid can have an attorney. It should be just age, they should just have them.
Every single child in the system should have
an attorney. Even if they're babies, they should still have
every single child.
So I actually have a question. Do you actually do anything? Do you say anything about this to the judges or whoever?
Yes.
Talk, because I don't.
We do.
All I know is judge, lawyer, attorney. That's it.
They advocate for the kids.
We advocate for the kids. So what we do is we go in and we change the laws, because it turns out there's a whole bunch of laws in Arizona's child welfare system, and the focus that's missing is the child. And so what we do is we went for the first year last year and we changed some laws and we made it better for the kids. And we're going back this year and we're going to change some laws and we're going to make it better for the kids. And then once you change the laws, you have to make sure that the laws are enforced in the court. And so we have a free law clinic. And so anybody, including a child who needs some legal help to advocate for a child, can come to us and we'll get a free lawyer in there and make sure that your interests are represented.
That's That is so amazing. Like,
I love that you're telling me that.
I actually have no words for that because, I mean, there are so many kids that aren't represented correctly sometimes, like,
or even at all.
So most of the people that I've been with, like, every single time I tell on what the adult does wrong, they always end up going free, and then the kid is looked at as the bad guy because it's an adult's word against a child.
Well, the way we look at it at Generation Justice is that if America can protect the rights, and we should, of every single accused criminal, and they can get a lawyer, then every single child victim in the country can have a lawyer.
Look, that's how I want it to be. That is an amazing point.
And all foster kids are victims.
Every single one.
So I have a question for you, Melissa.
I'll make it easy.
What's your favorite hot beverage?
A mocha.
So what are your insights about, like, the real estate business and it having an impact on maybe the homeless or stuff like that?
Wow, that was tough. The real estate industry is ever-changing, number one. The homeless situation is ever-changing as well, and unfortunately, it's continually growing, and it needs to be reducing. And my feeling in regards to the homelessness situation is the public is not aware of the reality of the situation. And in regards to those that are homeless are not just those that are jobless. They are kids. They are families. They are mentally ill. They are addicts. And until there is a step-by-step process to get these people rehabilitated and back into reality, a transition, they're going to stay homeless. And once they're out of homelessness and working through becoming part of reality, then they can start thinking about bettering themselves and getting a job and taking care of their families and getting into housing of their own. There is government subsidized housing for rental properties, and there are programs for people with lower incomes to be able to purchase housing.
Yeah.
There's all different kinds.
And that's the thing, though. Like, there is stuff out there, but sometimes there people just don't know, have the resources for them to be told this.
Absolutely.
Because people just don't, they just don't, you know, tell them. And it's like, you tell them, but then it's not really helping them out. Like, you just gotta, I feel like you have to elaborate, like, oh, like, you know, go talk to this person and they'll help you with blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they don't even have that because information is just not given to them like that. They don't have the resources like that.
Our rehabbing programs are not what they need to be either.
Right.
Meaning helping people transition back into reality with not being addicted to drugs or not being homeless or not being, or becoming healthier rather than being mentally ill. There's not programs that help these people.
Yeah.
In the proper ways.
Yeah.
So the information is not getting to them.
So actually on that note, we were talking about voting in my history class. And one of the things that came up was most of the population that aren't voting are usually homeless people. And we were all talking about the reasoning behind it. One of the main reasons is because they don't have state certifications. Because you have to pay for a state ID. Like, it is 100% you have to pay. And people are having their rights taken away because they don't have the income to actually put that money down and say, you know what, I need my state ID. I can vote. And on top of it, like you were saying, a lot of people don't understand what they can do. You have to pay for a newspaper. You have to have a TV or a phone to look at the internet. I mean, there are so many ways that people can just hand out pamphlets. Like, there are so many ways that people can actually take the numbers of homeless people down. However, people aren't taking the time and the effort to do so.
And I think on this note, I think a lot of people see it as, well, you giving me maybe $10 is enough, or you giving me this hamburger is enough. I think people think they depend on natural resources that come from outside, but I think what we really sometimes should do is just take time by ourselves and look at our own inner like wealth, inner, you know, just, yeah, sure, you may not have, but you should really just relax and, you know, think about what your good qualities are, your inner wealth. Sure, it may not be money, but it could be your personality and all this other stuff. So have you guys ever, you know, been in a time like that? Like, you have you dealt with it?
Sarah Ann, I want to hire you as my yoga teacher. Because what you just said was...
I like the word relaxed. Very zen.
It was very relaxed. Yeah. I'm relaxed just listening to her, actually. She has an exceptional radio voice.
Yes.
And I'm going to let Melissa take this.
Oh, come on. They're going to get tired of hearing my voice.
No one's tired of your voice.
So you're talking about inner wealth, self-confidence, number one?
Yeah.
Would that be part of it? Mm-hmm. Well, for maybe one
you,
who...
Maybe you could talk about your radio confidence.
Oh, yeah. For one who is very confident in what I do for a living, I've done it for so long, and I actually love what I do. I'm a very self-conscious person when it comes to public speaking. And all of my friends, including my husband, cannot understand that because I like to talk.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You don't have to be, you could literally be the best person at something. But even when you have to do it, you still get scared. Like,
yes.
No matter how well you are or how well you act you are when you're up on stage, I mean, I get scared. And that's my job. I have to publicly speak, and I'm perfectly fine with it once I start it. But, you can ask a bunch of people in the room. Like, I have those days where I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to mess up. I might trip. I might stumble on my words. You know, I get super duper scared. And then Tim, which is also someone with Scott Foundation, he, me and him have done like a couple of talking things together. So every single time I'm like, Tim, I don't think I can do this. Like, I'm super scared. What if I mess up? He's like, Autumn, like, really, like, calm down. Like, you're going to be fine.
If you mess just go up, with you mess it. Up. You yeah. move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like,
just act like it didn't happen, right?
Yeah. And then it's like with, because one of my things, I want to major in is acting. And it's like with acting, too. It's like, you're going to mess up. If you get it perfectly, good job for you. Like, you did it. But you just have to improvise is what we thespians say. We have to improvise. So if we do mess up on something, we improvise.
And, okay, so I know we already slid away from the topic, kind of. But so we were talking about limited services, and I wanted to actually bring up the companies and also organizations, because a lot of them have good intentions, like Scott Foundation and
Generation Justice.
Thank you.
Don't be sorry.
It just slipped my mind for a second. But there are like a bunch of things that are amazing. However, there's also those ones that are like, oh yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and they never really go through with it. What are your guys' opinions on that?
I think one of the most powerful things I saw is when my son moved into my house, and he had been in foster care for 14 years at that point, and I was his 51st placement. And so what they had done is they had taken all of his belongings and they had kept him in some sort of, he's a Tucson kiddo, so they had kept him in some sort of
plastic bag. Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we had a lot of trash bags and we had some bins, and it was basically a collection of his life from 3 until 17. Mm-hmm. And every time he moved, as you guys know, from a group home, they just emptied the room into a trash bag and then put him into storage, and nothing ever followed him. And so I really... I love all noble charities that try to support kids in the system. But what I found when we unpacked his belongings is that we had different piles in my living room. We had the things that he wanted to keep that were meaningful for him. We had the things that were just going to get thrown out. And then we had the things that were going to get donated. We had probably 50 backpacks in my living room. And we had probably 3 boxes of school supplies. And not that there's anything wrong with donating a backpack full of school supplies. It's just at some point the kid needed a family. he didn't need a backpack or school supplies. Mm-hmm. And so I know that every single person that donated one of those had the intentions of gold. It's just not what he needed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I will 100% agree on that because, so I live in a group home, obviously. And there's this group and every group home gets one. Like there's these specific people that donate stuff. We literally have gotten so many donations of food, like the same thing 3, 4, 6 times. Same thing so many times. We literally ate cereal for 4 weeks because they donated cereal. And like, don't get me wrong, it's very nice. It's very kind-hearted, but we have so many toothbrushes, toothpaste, like everything that we need as a necessity, but nothing that we want.
What do you really need? Living in a group home, what do you really need?
Man, probably sustainability. Yeah. If I'm going to be honest.
Like, you need balance. You can't have imbalance. I think because when you're in the foster system, you move so many times. And then you're not only that, they call it a team. That changes too. Your team changes. So I think having that stability and having someone there, the same person there for you, can really help you, you know.
And it's the worst in group homes.
Yeah.
Because the kids change, the staff change.
Yeah.
The house manager changes. The only person that I've had for the 3 years that I've lived in this group home is the house director. And it sucks because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand the pressure and I understand having to deal with 10 girls. But at the same time, it kind of sucks for us and they have to understand that because you have to have qualifications, you have to do this, you have to do that, and some of them even work a second job. But at the same time, them working so many hours because there's not other people to come in and do that, I mean, they're literally snapping at us left and right, giving us behavior warnings because they aren't 100% stable in their own lives as well. So, I mean,
and Autumn, you're being kinder than I would be.
There's no constant in your life.
No, yeah,
and none. No, and it's they have so many, like, people ask, they're like, what's a behavior warning? They're like, it's basically where you're not supposed to do anything, and then they give you a behavior warning, you know, and then they call, so you ground a kid, you're like, you're grounded, but then they call it restriction. Like, they have so many things and just
different terms.
Yeah, just terms. Like, why, it's just so different and just so, like, why can't you just say ground? Why do you have to say restriction? Like, it's just...
Is there any consistency whatsoever in a day-to-day life
in a group
home? I
will say this. So, I've been in care since I was 3. I'm 18 now, so that's 15 years. In all honesty, I've moved around from state to state. Like, I've been to Washington, to Nevada, to Arizona, and nothing was consistent. Not my caseworkers, not family, not anything. The only thing that I ever had consistency of was my sister's, and then that got taken away 5 years ago. So, I mean, there is really no consistency when it comes to foster care. The only thing that has been consistent since I've been in this group home is Scott Foundation, because they've been there through my thick, they've been through my thin, they've been there when I was having the worst day of my life, and they have supported me through everything. Like, I have no idea.
That will continue.
And even...
No matter your age.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, I'm 18 and I'm going to be taking over Colleen's job just to bring in more kids to come in and help them. And honestly, I want to even help kids on the streets as well sooner or later. Because, I mean, everyone deserves a chance. You just got to give it to them.
Absolutely.
You know? And the best thing about Scott Foundation is the fact that no matter how old we get, no matter how old the kids get or the adults, everybody is a big family, and that's how we need to keep it. I mean, and it doesn't mean that the family is going to stop growing. That just means that our bond's going to keep growing as well, you know?
And I don't mean to take over your interview. It's just who I am. But do you guys find that at 18, I mean, I know my son felt that way. Like, we actually called his birthday 17B because 18 was such a scary age for him. So, do you find that the services at 18 just sort of cut off?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I will actually comment on that one. I have a messed up knee, and since my insurance changed, I can't get an MRI for it. So I have to go through this whole long process because I do not have the insurance that I had when I was 17. So yeah, it's real fun being an adult. And like, I didn't really think it was going to be that much different. I had to raise my sisters from the day they were born to the day that I left. So that was pretty easy, like transitioning into adulthood, especially considering I like worked and took care of food and stuff like that. But I will say this, it's not as amazing as everybody thinks. I mean, you still get, even though the age 18 is an adult, people aren't going to treat you like an adult until you're like 23. Like, let's be honest. I mean, I still get treated like a kid just because I'm 18 and, you know.
Well, you also look pretty young, let's be honest.
Yeah. My own doctor was actually incapable of knowing what was wrong with my knee. And she thought I was young enough to get growing pains. And I'm like, no, that can't be what's wrong with my knee. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, she's like, it's a real thing. I'm like, I know it's a real thing, but I'm 18. I'm done growing. Like, I'm not growing anymore. And she's like, wait, you're 18? I'm like, you're my doctor. You're supposed to know this.
She didn't know you were 18?
No. And it's like, I have to figure out how to get around all this stuff because, I mean, the group home that I live in, they got a new contract so they can have 18-year-olds, but it's usually 18 you get kicked out. So this group home's good, and they found a way to have us still in there. But, I mean, I'm still lost on what the heck to do with everything. Like, I have to give a, what is it called? I don't know. It's something that you have to do to the insurance if they deny something.
Appeal?
That, yes. An appeal. I had no clue that they even had appeals. Like, it's just, there's so much stuff that kids don't know before they age and turn into 18. And then they say that they do. And it's like, You aren't showing us everything that we need, like the insurance. What the heck are we supposed to do when this happens or this? Like, do we have to have like a lawyer to help us? Do we have to do this? Like,
nobody teaches you life skills in the group home.
Exactly. And then like the life skills that we do obtain is cleaning and cooking and keeping our rooms tidy and on time, like no tardiness, and also respect. That is basically all we learn in the group home. So, wow. Yeah.
So, in poverty, we think as poverty as not having food, not having enough money, not having enough of anything. But in reality, let's think of poverty for a minute as not. What about we can be like not have so much of, again, of inner self-worth. We could not, you know, have a lot of self-worth, self-confidence, inner wealth, if you will. So have you guys ever, you know, dealt with that at a point in time in your life?
Yes. I would say, so one thing I'm really working on now, even as an adult, as an attorney, is defining my definition of what success looks like. And I think it's really helpful for me anyway. Instead of trying to measure whether or not I failed or succeeded, it's just to call everything based on my effort. Mm-hmm. And if I've given it my all, and then everything else is learning, right? Mm-hmm. And so I found that for my own goals, because I'm a type A person, which means I'm pretty tough on myself and I like things to go a certain way, that if I can phrase everything is that I'm learning, and that I gave it my all, then that's where I find my, that's where I get my inner wealth from. That it's a lesson I have to work on every day.
What about you, Melissa?
I will go off of what Rebecca said. I agree with her 100%. Life, when I learned that life is not a test, life is a journey. And every day you will continue to learn. But if you can give it your 100% and your best every day, that's success. In my book.
Yeah. Actually, so I'm going to get a tattoo to actually go off of that. So my favorite flower is a rose, obviously. Well, not obviously, but I think that's kind of like the essential favorite flower, right? I've been through like thick and thin, and I I don't want to be one of those adults that's like, oh, I'm smarter than this 18-year-old or I'm smarter than this 4-year-old. Because in all honesty, we all keep growing. So I'm going to get a flower tattoo that says keep growing on my arm because it's just going to keep reminding me that nobody stops growing. And if I think that I am, then I'm wrong because everybody still does not know everything. Even though you want to think you do, you don't.
We can learn so much from you kids.
That's what I was just going to say. If
you guys teach us every day.
You both have such astounding perspective and the ability to talk about your story that this right here is, I think, how it changes.
Yeah.
I really do. So I love that. I don't know if I should be on board with that tattoo or not, but I really... love 18. The intent
She's
of it.
She's 18. It's okay.
Okay, you're fine. Yeah. Love it.
And I'm not one of those people that just jump into it for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've actually thought about it like a lot even before I turned 18. So it was just one of those things that I always wanted to do. And no matter how many different people I like switched around from, I did take something from it. I always heard, well, if you get your get a tattoo, it better have meaning and it better be paid by you. Because if it doesn't have meaning, then what's the point of making it forever, you know? Changing the topic. So what's the easiest and hardest part of your guys' jobs?
Oh, goodness sakes. Easiest part is I love what I do. All of it's easy to me, except for when something doesn't happen the way
you want it to.
Exactly. I'm a very controlling person, in case you haven't figured that out. And in my job, we have to stay in control or everything just goes haywire. It bothers me when something doesn't happen the way it should for a client, when people don't do what they say they're going to do. And I'm certain you can understand that. There's a lot of players when it comes to a real estate transaction. And if those players aren't all on the same team, it all just goes sideways. And they need to be on the same team because we're all working towards the same goal, getting a house sold. Whether you represent a buyer or a seller, mm-hmm. There's always a buyer and a seller, typically a realtor for both, sometimes an attorney, always a title
sometimes.
Company.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky.
Always a title company and usually a lender involved. So there's a lot of people involved. And if we don't stay on track, It doesn't happen, and mm-hmm. it needs to happen smoothly for all parties.
Right. So we've talked about several challenges. I know. I wasn't counting.
Whoa, wait. We have Rebecca still
it's her turn.
That needs to talk.
Oh!
I forgot okay. the question.
So okay. what is oh, yeah. the easiest and the hardest part oh, about your job?
They're the same thing. The easiest and the hardest part. This is my dream job. My entire career has pretty much led me to this. To helping found this organization. And the easiest part is that I get to do what I love every single day. And the hardest part is that I get to meet kids like you and I take your stories home with me. And there will be more people who are looking to fix the system the more we talk about it. But it does get pretty darn frustrating when you're up against a large agency. And so that's it. The easiest and the hardest part is that I take the stories with me everywhere I go, but I can't fix them all in the amount of time that I wish I could fix
them. I would like to comment on the how you guys both say that you love what you do. Because when most people come, and I'm not speaking on Karen's behalf for Business Radio X, but most people that are like successful business people, the problem of their happiness is that they don't like what they're doing. They're just making money from it. And they think that money is happiness. But happiness is loving what you do. And if you love what you do, then you're successful in your own way, you know?
Girl, you got it.
Honestly, I don't.
Amazing.
You guys should just talk. Like you shouldn't even ask us questions. We have nothing to offer here.
But you guys have everything to offer because, I mean, mm-hmm. you can stand up for kids that don't have their own voice. And then you can also help us make it even better to tell the public and explain to the homeless people of how to actually get into these programs that will help them and make them successful in their own way.
So we talked about several challenges. What do you wonderful ladies think makes a home?
Bloom where you are planted. a home is where you hang your hat. I am a firm believer in you make your own home. Doesn't matter how big or small your house is. Doesn't matter if you own it or rent it. It matters who is in it with you. Even if you live alone, even if you only have a pet, if you don't have children, or if you don't have a spouse, your home is what you make it. Your home is not the material things in it. And when you grow, you will make it even more special.
And you say we're the ones that have like amazing words.
Honey,
like,
I've moved up 10 times. So it's not just, it's not the house. There's a difference between a house and a home.
I 100% agree. What about you, Rebecca?
I have nothing to add to that. That was it. That was it.
That was like, yeah, I that have no it. Words to even like.
You get to a point.
Say that.
We're older.
Okay, who's been the realtor for 22 years?
You. Nice job. But I, you know, you get to a point where you have a lot of expectations. Mm-hmm. You guys get that of what life is supposed to look like. And at some point, yeah, I think you guys are way ahead of me on this game. You just let it go and you create the path that you want to be. So your home is just exactly what you need it to be.
I will say this again. So thank you so, so much for coming, because in all honesty,
thank you.
You guys will be even part of the big scheme that's happening with Scott Foundation about breaking the system and in a good way, obviously, and helping mm-hmm. kids that need the help. And also another way that other people can help our Scott Foundation is foster care tax credits. Yay. So you can do this by visiting www.taxcredits4azfosterkids.com. And every single first letter of each word is capitalized and AZ is capitalized as well. So again, www.taxcredits4azfosterkids.com. And we actually have a bunch of things, including the Fashion Pod tea that Melissa Moore Cormick came to.
It was wonderful. Plan to go to the next one.
Yeah. So I would also like to thank Karen for having us yes. in her station and having us here to actually be able to do the radio and talk to you wonderful people. And if you're up for golf, join us on April 27th at the Arizona Biltmore Golf Club Links course. Here we'll have working with Chef Brett at Cartwright's, and we are preparing golf meals at each of the four different holes, and there's also going to be a silent auction and tons of other prizes there as well.
I'll be there too.
And us kids will actually help be preparing the food that are at all four holes.
Great.
So very good experience for us and you people.
And then we're doing on May 2nd, we're actually teaming up with different chefs. So there will be five different teams. So we got Chef Brett of Cartwright's Modern Cuisine. And then we got Chef David, I can't pronounce his last name.
Durate
of The Social. He'll be joining us. And we have different chefs, and there will be just a whole bunch of good food, and if you could come and help and support us.
So the other two chefs are Chef Tamara Stanger and also Chef Mason Alford at Bullthup Scottsdale. And this is basically a place that we are going to be having, like Sarah Ann said, a competition between chefs and also their Scott Foundation team. Sarah Ann will be teamed up with Chef Brett with Cartwright's, mm-hmm. and I will be teamed up with Tamara Stanger, and Rosa will be with David Durate, and Ephron will be with Chef Jason Alford. So please come out and see who's the winner. There's already a bunch of talk, and I'm pretty sure the girl mm-hmm. power is going to win. You know, me and
I was thinking about making some side bets with Melissa.
Oh, me and Brett got it.
Have you ever eaten at Cartwright's?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's wonderful.
One of my favorites.
And Sherry Rose actually going to be She's actually going to be there as well with an auction. There's going to be an auction and more as well. And it's a 5-course plated dinner.
And sounds wonderful.
Yeah. It sounds pretty fun. I mean, I'm going to be working, but it's going to be super fun.
Yeah, we'll be doing the work. I mean, no problem with that. I'm used to it.
That's at Agave Farms. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe
so. What sounds fun and delicious?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we'll be me and Brett.
You're funny. The girl power's going to win. But so I would also thank again Melissa and Rebecca for joining us, and also Karen for giving up her time again. Yay! And also I would like to recognize the sponsorship of Kurt McCormick and Associates for allowing us to be able to do this as well. And if anybody has any questions or comments or any questions for anyone, you can reach Tim at 480-689-3355. Again, 480-689-3355. And also, you can also contact him at tim@scott-foundation.com. Again, tim@scott-foundation.com. Thank you for listening and hope you guys have a great night.
Now, normally, this is Karen, by the way, we would play some exit music after these girls do a great job, but I'm going to pipe in. This is their second segment where they've been flying solo as hosts, and weren't they amazing?
Phenomenal. Wonderful.
Second time.
I'm floored. Phenomenal. Yeah,
really.
Honestly,
well.
Honestly, guys.
And so while you girls are giving all these beautiful accolades to the studio, to me, and to our incredible guests, I want to make sure that we pause and we thank both of you, because you are really stepping up in leadership, and I am so very, very proud of you. Yeah. Bravo.
Such a great job.
Thank you.
And the other reason why I plugged in is because I have been head down with blinders on for the last 4 days and just focused on business. And as we're chatting, I'm checking email and getting messages on Facebook and LinkedIn, and something caught my attention. Somebody in the house has a birthday today.
Colleen!
Happy birthday!
And none of this would be possible without our beautiful and amazing leader,
no,
Colleen.
No, I 100% agree. Like, I 100% posted it on Facebook as soon as I woke up.
Right.
I was like,
you and me both.
I was like, Colleen, I have no idea how. I couldn't even think of so many words to put in that message.
And Facebook only gives you so much.
She literally puts her heart and soul into this, and her doing that and pouring that much attention into kids that don't have it is just mind-blowing. And being able to have that experience and also to give it to other kids is just amazing. So I definitely want to shout out a happy birthday to Colleen, the person that started all of this.
Happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. And with that, we will now close the show.